Welcome to the Business of Sport, brought to you by Sports Finder. Every week, our CEO, Ahmad El-Hawly, and his co-host, Rob Yowell, founder of Gemini Sport, come together to break down the hottest topics in the world of the business of sport.
Welcome, everybody, to another segment, another week from the world of the business of sport. Myself, Ahmad El-Hawly, and my co-host, Mr. Rob Yowell. Welcome, Rob. How are you? How's things, buddy?
Things are good here in the U.S. We're in the midst of NHL and NBA playoffs, and we've wrapped up an NFL draft, and we got MLS going on. It seems like everything's going on at once, and here in Arizona, starting to heat up. So things are good, and the Diamondbacks are in first place, and we'll probably won't be there by the time next time we have this conversation, but we'll take it for now.
Absolutely amazing. Perfect segue into our first topic of the night, which is the NFL draft. Some big numbers coming from the NFL draft. Let's just talk the numbers, and then we can break down the different draft picks or whatnot. But the NFL is reporting that total unduplicated audience in the United States of 54.4 million viewers watched the NFL draft over three-day event through TV and streaming. And in attendance, they had 312,000 people over 3 days. Isn't that absolutely mind-boggling?
It's, the draft has, kind of taken on a life of its own. I mean, I was reading an article about, kind of the rise of the draft. And they were talking about Mel Kiper, how someone, he created a cottage industry in the draft, and what we're seeing today in the NFL draft, kind of is something that, started in Mel Kiper Jr.'s basement, 30 some years ago. And the conversation was, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Well, at some levels, yeah, he does, because he's what we're talking about that took place, last week in Kansas City, is only going to get bigger in the next city and the next city. Everybody kind of tries to outdo it. I still think the numbers in Vegas were off, because Vegas was absolutely bumping.
Wow.
It goes back to a couple things. One, we as consumers of the sport feel so much more connected to these athletes than we ever have. Well, we feel like we know these guys that are in the draft. We've watched them play, from high school. We followed them on social media. They go to college. We're seeing them on TV. We're still following them on social media. Now, with name, image, and likeness, they're out, more as brand marketers and as brand ambassadors to companies. And now they enter into the Uber stage of the NFL, and the draft has kind of just become this incredible experiential 3-day experiential revival of obviously the biggest spectator sport here in America. So it has been fun to watch this grow. I can remember when this was, it was in hotel ballrooms, then it was in Radio City Music Hall. And now they have to hold this in spaces that have no boundaries because of, the crowds, that they're drawing on, over these 3 days. So it's a phenomenon, but shows you the power of the league. But I think it also kind of coincides with, this consumer player team relationship now is even much more connected than I think it ever has been. Look, those fans go to not only cheer on their team, but in some cases, they're college fans cheering on their guy to see where he's going next, and it may not be to their favorite NFL team, but they're still there to, I saw a lot of Buckeye fans, there over the weekend, and, you see Texas fans and obviously Alabama fans and Georgia, these schools that tend to put a lot of guys in the draft. And I just think it's going to continue to go up. Each the next city is like, hold my beer, see if you can top this. That's kind of fun. It gets creative, and they do it. Look, the NFL does a great job of marketing it. You've got three different networks, covering it, from NFL Network to ESPN to, ESPN family of networks, I should say. And you really get a Fox is, has a crew there, and so you've got a real big coverage push around it. And I'm waiting to see the cross promotion, when Fox sends their golf crew, and TNT, CBS sends their NBA crew, Charles Barkley's calling the draft. I mean, there's going to be some fun, crossovers here, as you spice it up and keep trying to make it better. So, I guess the one thing that I'm really curious about, obviously attendance and viewership and all that didn't have too much of an effect, but you saw who was presenting the NFL draft, right? Did you block it? Did you block it out? Everybody's least favorite beer right now. I did. It was, and again, from a marketer standpoint, obviously, obviously acknowledging all the certain, publicity that brand has been receiving, negatively over the past, several weeks. I was kind of curious to see, how fans kind of react. And again, I would say that I was pleasantly surprised that you didn't see, any graffiti or paint balloons being thrown at the signage, in a way of kind of trying to ruin the moment and try to make some political statement that you don't care about Bud Light. You didn't see that, but again, you didn't hear boos, but you also didn't see a lot of people holding Bud Light cans and cups or whatever in the crowd. I think everything kind of you saw a lot more generic. So I'm sure it was being served, but beer's beer when
Crazy
it's in a
times.
red. Beer's beer when it's in a red Solo cup. So brand
It's
agnostic at that point.
definitely one of the marketing failures of our time. But anyway, we won't go too much into that.
Yeah,
we
stick don't to the get to go draft. Down that rabbit hole anymore.
Yeah,
I think we've hit it enough.
absolutely. Awesome. Yeah, NFL drafts become a spectacle. I'm sure people now cities are fighting to host it. People are traveling from all over the country. Some people from all over the world. They had people from Australia present some numbers, some jumpers, and so on and so on. So this has become an international spectacle. It really has. So this is the power of the NFL. They know how to sell an event. They know how to build an event. They know how to host an event. They know how to get the international distribution, the national distribution, and that's why they have the best media deals in the world, literally. And that will continue to grow. The international expansion is moving very quickly. We're seeing adoption in many countries. They go to Tottenham Stadium, they sell out. They go to the German, I think it was Bayern Munich Stadium. I can't remember the name of it. Sold out. So, they're doing very, very well. They're doing very, very well, which is awesome. Great to see. We love sports. We love sports properties that do well. We love sports properties that give back to the fans and put on a great product. And that's what sports fans want. Awesome. We'll move on to our next point, which is this is very close to home for you, Rob. The Phoenix Suns are abandoning cable TV. Great television will locally air games on its KTVK, KPHO, and KPHE stations. Previously, the cable partner was Diamond Sports. They're not very happy about this, and they're saying that this breached their contract and violated bankruptcy law. But this new media rights deal with Great Television is seeing a lot more distribution. So now you have fans in nearly 2.8 million households that will now have access to games, which is pretty much tripling the reach of the former cable deal. with Valley Sports Arizona, and which is the parent company that pretty much went out of business. How do you see this? You've been involved with the Sons a fair bit recently. How do you see this deal, Rob? Do you think it's a positive light or negative light or negative influence? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, for those that haven't followed the Bally Sports saga, you know, the Suns are one of several, you know, teams where Bally has their, you know, cable media rights, and you know, Diamond Sports has declared bankruptcy and has defaulted on or not made some payments. You know, Diamondbacks being one, Padres, you know, Cincinnati Reds, a few others out there. And look, you know, there are a couple things. One, Phoenix Suns has had an ownership change. They got a billionaire owner, and he's wanted to do things different. He wants his fan base to see this team and not be restricted, you know, be able to watch it on, you know, free TV, if you will.
Yeah.
Just today, you know, Diamond Sports, you know, the parent company of Bally Sports, you know, filed suit against the Phoenix Suns and Gray Television for this deal. Now, obviously, this deal requires approval. It requires, you know, any past, you know, rights deals to be resolved. And you know, in the minds of, you know, the Phoenix Suns, Diamond Sports has defaulted. You know, they haven't made their payments.
Yeah.
So you don't own my rights anymore. You're bankrupt and you can't pay me. They are in a position with a, you know, a top quality team with high profile players and a new owner that is, you know, a billionaire that can, you know, make decisions like this. And first and foremost, it's great for the fans. Fans get to,
for sure,
you know, get to see the Suns free TV.
It's sure.
Great for, you know, for, you know, keeping those Suns on year round. You know, first goal is to fill out the footprint center. And then have a lot of, you know, those fans that aren't in the building be watching on TV. It's great. Two is that, you know, it's for the advertiser. This is not a deal where, you know, the team ownership is looking for money. You know, they'll get a rev share on the advertising, but if you think about, you know, instead of a rights fee, they're doing a rev share, and a rev share on more broadcasts, you know, to a team that's popular, you know, with more people watching, drives up the value of the advertising. So more money, you know, and why would you want to entrust your brand into, you know, with a company that clearly is struggling and going bankrupt? You know, so at some point in the middle of your season, all of a sudden your games go off.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's crazy.
So, yeah. You know, it's one of those things that we talk about in sport in general is, you know, control your own destiny a little bit. And in this case, you know, the Suns, you know, feel it's an opportunity for them to, you know, take back their media rights, protect their brand, and put their brand out there, you know, in a way that their fans can consume it, you know, anytime, anywhere. You know, it doesn't have to be on an app download, or, you know, not going to be a subscription base. Hey, you got to have cable. No, it's going to be on free TV, and they feel very confident about it, and they feel that they were, you know, in a position to do that with Bally, you know, declaring the bankruptcy, not making payments, and you know, move forward. We'll see what the courts say. You know, you and I can debate all we want, my friend, but I may teach in the law school, but I do not have a law degree, so I don't get to rule on this in any way. But it'll be certainly one to follow, and because I do think, depending on how this plays out, other teams, you know, with similar relationships than the Suns that could do the same. If they, you know, you could see the Padres maybe go do something where they find a new local TV deal and strike a deal. You could see the Reds. You could see some other teams that Bally has defaulted on. And if this ruling kind of clears a path for future decisions, you could see, you know, a trend here. And, So it'll be fun. Certainly be one to watch. But again, Matt Ishbia and the Suns, making moves, as they say. Didn't take him long to get a Kevin Durant trade done once he took over, and here's an opportunity that he's kind of changing the landscape a little bit on sports media and sports broadcasting, and kind of taking back his rights and striking a different type of deal.
What are your thoughts on the commercial aspect of things?
Of the broadcast and the advertising? I think the Sun in this market, this is all about what's happened in this market. Right now, the Suns are hot. The Cardinals missed the playoffs, projected to be, to have, low wins next year. Coyotes didn't make the playoffs. Rumors again coming up that they may move and relocate. The Suns are, the Diamondbacks are playing fairly well right now, but the past few seasons have, literally been out of the playoffs by the All-Star break. The Suns are the team. I mean, look, they're the front runners in this market. So, if you're an advertiser and you're looking for, to align yourself with a winning product, a winning brand, and oh, by the way, have a, almost an eight month, cycle associated with the team from when, camp starts in September to when, hopefully if they go all the way to the NBA finals, you're talking about something that ends in June. I mean, give yourself a, a huge window to market and promote and create activation around a property that now is going to be, would be available on, over the air TV. You can justify the justify the heck out of a deal, certainly of a broadcast deal, but also, partnership with the team as well. So I think, those things are going to align. And, look, this is a leverage play. Strike while you're hot. Strike while your old deal is, weak at the knees, bleeding out, it's fighting bankruptcy, all those kinds of things. I mean, it's a timing play. And I think that, they're the top draw in town and really have an opportunity to kind of seize the momentum. And, let's see what happens again. There'll be a court ruling on this. And I think that will, hold things up for a minute, but I don't believe that it's going to stop any planning, but certainly once that comes in, and if it's in favor of the Suns, you're going to see an activation plan and an execution on a deal move fairly quickly. We just need them to win a couple games so we can extend the series.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a brilliant move, honestly, because now it's just you're putting your product on air in front of so many more people, and you're re-engaging fans and audiences, and because now you have this big superstar who can potentially get you somewhere, So it'll be interesting to see a play out, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our next point, let's move on to our next point, and all the best to the Phoenix Suns. Our next point is an interesting one, actually. This one's been talked about for a while, not specifically to this company, but, in general. But we'll start here first. DraftKings to launch pro streaming service. For those of you that don't know who DraftKings is, DraftKings is a gambling giant in the US based out of Boston. They are launching their own streaming video service. The plan is to offer free content to attract more sports fans into their ecosystem and then pretty much taking them through a funnel to become paying customers. The network will be called the DK Network, and apparently it'll be launching in a couple of weeks. My understanding is that it won't be live content just yet. It's more around podcast-based, video-based podcasts from current podcasts that they sponsor and they host. So I'm sure they're already involved in a ton of podcasts. So why not bring it all under one banner? Interesting approach. There's been a lot of talk for a long time around media companies becoming betting companies, or media companies buying betting companies, or vice versa. And I think some tried and some have found it's very difficult to do it on their own. And I think these guys have gone a very different way. This reminds me a lot of the Barstool and Penn approach.
Yeah.
It's very, very similar. It's just they've done it very differently. Instead of buying out a whole network, they've gone and aggregated everyone they sponsor and they hold under one banner. What are your thoughts, buddy?
Well, you know, again, that was going to be my, you know, my actual comment was exactly what you said. I said that, you know, this is a Barstool effect. You know, and Barstool organically kind of grew and created itself, and you know, has, you know, polarizing figures, but also, you know, has a massive following, you know, you know, through a very influential and valuable, you know, demographic. And, you know, obviously you saw them, you know, kind of move into, you know, the programming space with the acquisition of a bowl game. You've seen them move into some, you know, commercial with, you know, with bars and you know, with the, you know, real estate, you know, from, you know, bar, restaurant, you know, sports bar kind of component now. And then obviously, you know, the full acquisition of Penn Gaming, you know, now overriding, you know, the content and the brand and, you know, Dave Portnoy and all, you know, all the
and causing controversy already.
Well, exactly. You know, which, you know, kind of comes with the territory with those guys. But again, I think it's one of those things where, but what you've seen is, you know, it still has a massive audience, still has massive, you know, media, you know, advertising, you know, partners. I mean, it's got content, it's got users, it's got viewers, it's got everything. And, you know, look, it's a, you know, the, you know, FanDuel, you know, doing, you know, branding deals with Topgolf, the, you know, DraftKings, you know, kind of creating this network. I mean, again, they kind of, you know, did it reverse, you know, this is about partnerships are now rolling into the content play as opposed to, you know, buying a content network and rolling it into your gaming platform. Look, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's become successful, seen it work someplace else. They have, you know, they have brand recognition. They've got strategic relationships with major leagues. You know, we're watching this, you know, this betting, we're watching it on a global scale, you know, the betting category get redefined, and we're watching some barriers get put up or some decisions being made. Obviously, we talked about the EPL a couple weeks ago. You know, meanwhile, UEFA, you know, is taking bids on the betting category for their global partnership. And now we're watching, you know, betting, you know, roll out, you know, on a state by state basis here in the U.S. You know, these internet, you know, digital gaming platforms have become extremely popular. And this is just it's a byproduct of a lot of things happening. And, so it'll be interesting to kind of see, you know, how that consumer base, you know, certainly DraftKings, how their subscribers or users, you know, gravitate towards this, you know, as a content provider. As you mentioned, it's all, you know, either tape delayed or rebroadcast kind of content, not live content. So, you know, it doesn't affect their, you know, their betting integrity. Right. So, you know, you're not watching anything, you know, that could be influenced, so to speak. So, you know, again, it's a move. It's certainly a category and a bucket that they felt they had the opportunity to fill and grow, and here we are. You know, who's next?
Yeah,
wait for Caesars to somehow find their way into a programming deal with the Mannings and some sort of a talk show with Cooper, Peyton, and Eli.
Special guest Archie. What's ESPN doing? I mean, who are they partnered with? You know,
Look, ESPN, look, ESPN was obviously very early in on this, with their radio network. If you remember, the worldwide leader was, that was a big deal. If your sports radio AM, station was a ESPN station, because you got, you got Dan Patrick and, Colin Cowherd and Tony Kornheiser and, those early days, Mike and Mike in the morning. Remember, that was a big deal. You had, ESPN had an entire slate of guys, that moved, that were gravitating from their sports center, success. Scott Van Pelt had his own show. All these guys came over and were doing radio. Stephen A. Smith, all of them.
Wow.
And then Fox kind of monkey see, monkey do that thing. Did the same. and then they took some talent away from ESPN. Put them on TV and radio. Now you're seeing kind of this phenomenon kind of move more into, the digital space. And again, ESPN's got podcasts and all that. They've seen some of their top talent gravitate out to, this podcast space has allowed, guys like Bill Simmons to go, I don't need to be on ESPN to do this.
Yeah.
I've got a following now. I've got a name, and I'll go out and create my own deal. And I can just,
wow.
I can run a Twitter space with my buddy Ahmad and Rob. And we can just be talking about it there. And I've got to answer to, and I'll have to, answer to some suit in New York that, or in ESPN's case, one in Southern California, frankly, what I can and can't say, so to speak. Creative freedoms and things like that. There we are. We're watching the media play develop. And so, ESPN kind of started this, with their obviously their success on broadcast, then radio, it got into the streaming and podcast space, and then you create talent, people pay a lot for that talent, they got a lot of young people coming up that are talented, and you're finding them into the space, and so it kind of spawned another cottage industry out there, and we're watching it, and Barstool, look, tip a cap to where it's due. They kind of created, this, every man's, space and, sports and gambling and, pizza reviews and everything, it's worked. And now, the highest form of flattery is imitation. So when somebody copies you, you just go, hey, I am doing something right.
As long as you can survive it.
Well, yeah, if you can't beat them, join them or buy them, right? It's the kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
But in this case, they're looking to create the same, and here we go.
Well,
next one
let's
up.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's see how that all pans out. Yeah, back to the Suns. Yeah, actually, not really the Suns, but Kevin Durant signed a lifetime contract with Nike. Durant joins some amazing names that'll go down in history. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Cristiano Ronaldo with lifetime Nike deals. He's been with Nike since his first endorsement deal when he entered the NBA with the Seattle Supersonics in 2007. This partnership has led to 15 signature shoes being released over the years. And there's a 16th one on route, pretty much. Nike will also continue to support Durant's charity initiatives, his family foundation, and his youth basketball program. How crazy is that? For the rest of his life, Nike will be all over it.
Well,
what are your thoughts on these deals, Rob?
Obviously there haven't been many of them. So, it takes this isn't just a talent thing. It's a person thing too, and it's you read
Jordan,
the,
though.
It's obviously I don't know if we're going to see the the Thin Reaper movie coming up anytime soon. But Kevin has been look, he is one of the most decorated players in the game. Won championships. He's a very community driven guy. He's a mama's boy too. He'll tell you that. He loves his mama. There hasn't been a lot of controversy around Kevin Durant, off the court. Kevin Durant runs a pretty straight shop, quiet guy, and he's out, but he's investing in things. And, but I, if you're going to get a lifetime deal, you pass the ultimate sniff test, if you will. They have checked everything about you, that there are no skeletons. There are no, every rock was turned over. They know everything about you. And they in this day and age, when everybody looks for those things and they can't find them, that's a person with, if you're a brand like Nike, that you can sign that type of lifetime deal with. Because look, the greatest golfer of our time does not have a lifetime Nike deal, and that's for a reason, because there are it has nothing to do with his talent and his ability to move product, which he still does for them, with his Tiger Woods line.
There's just a couple of liabilities off field that can happen, a couple
bad decisions. I would say that. If he was on, major number 20 and all of those kinds of things, and, he was still happy, had a family. There are things that prevented a lifetime deal. He will have a deal with Nike as long as he wants, but he's never going to, it's always going to be up for renewal. Wow. Nike has to have that. The event that something else comes up. These deals are far between for a reason. You mentioned the athletes that have it, and they're special. They're special. They've been loyal. They've been they've changed the game in some ways, and they've been consistently consistent off the floor and doing good, doing right things, and not bringing negativity,
controversy,
into their space.
Yeah, for sure.
Kevin's a guy, I think we all can root for him. I mean, even if he doesn't play for your team, he's just a guy who wants to hoop. As he'll tell you, I just want to hoop. I don't really want to for mess sure. with the other stuff, but I just want to hoop. And the Phoenix Suns need him to hoop right now. we need him to hoop a bunch.
Hopefully, and win a title.
It's gonna be hard, with. Unless their bench starts to contribute a little bit more, but Denver's the real deal this year. They've got home court advantage, and they have a bench that scores. We don't, and we're down Chris Paul right now too. The Suns are so, let's see what happens. That's why they play the games.
Awesome. Let's move on to our next point. This one is a bit of an interesting one because. There's been controversy around this club from day one. We're moving into the Premier League. Newcastle agree with £25 million front of shirt sponsor. Yep. So just so we give some context here, Newcastle was purchased by the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is called now the Public Fund, the Public Investment Fund. From day one, there was controversy. They were vetted thoroughly. So on. Then they brought on a sleeve patch sponsor called Noon, which is a shopping app in the Middle East, has a heavy presence in the Middle East. Yep. And obviously the one of the key focus points from the Premier League was you're not allowed to have government's assets sponsor clubs.
Yep.
So now what the rumor is that this £25 million a year sponsor is from another Middle Eastern country. Apparently, it's a different company from another Middle Eastern country. Their current front of shirt is Fun88, which is an Asian betting brand, and they were paying around, I think it was £6.8 million per season.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're seeing like a huge increase in the offer. There's a good chance they'll play Champions League next year, which is going to get them a lot more eyes and distribution. That could justify the increase in the front of shirt. I'm not the expert here. You are. So let's get your point of view on things.
Well, you're funny. You should ask. You know, first and foremost, we know that as we talked a couple episodes ago, betting partners are coming off the front of shirt for all EPL clubs. So yeah, that deal was going away one way or the other. Two, Newcastle currently sits in third in the Premier League, which puts them in Champions League, which, you know, puts them, you know, from a value standpoint in that upper echelon of, you know, so if you're getting 6.8 from a partner that would be going away technically after next year. And you have a, you know, the ability to exit out, which is what they did, you know, for the next season and strike while the iron's hot. Hey, we might not be in third place this time next year, so let's strike for our next 3-year deal while the iron's hot. So yeah, I would think that a $10 to $15 million, you know, partner could be, you know, it could be reasonable. Could, you know, just given the circumstances. Now, you know, you mentioned, you know, they have not named the partner yet because, you know, they're going through the, you know, the fair, you know, Fair Partnership Act, you know, protocols to verify that there is no connection to the PIF related to this new brand. You know, and, you know, cause it, now, you know, it, there are very prominent, global brands that, you know, Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds just so happen to own. They just, you know, and they are very, you know, I'll say, Western, culture, Western brands, you know, for example, could be a petroleum partner that you and I use to gas up our vehicles on a regular basis. I look at it and go, oh, that's XYZ. That's not a big deal. Knowing that they're owned by the PIF. You know, so what we may find, you know, on the surface, you and I'd look at it, wouldn't think twice about it. Hey, you know, that's, we watch Formula One, you know, Petronas is on Mercedes. Well, you know, that's a petroleum company, right? You know, that's, you know, they provide all the oil for Mercedes and all that kind of stuff. You know, they're very connected, but we don't say, oh, they're owned by the Germans. You know, we just know that brand, but it could be a brand that, you know, for example, it could be a crypto brand. It could be a sunglass company that they own. You know, it could be Ray-Ban, so to speak. Not that they own them, but it could be as agnostic of a brand that doesn't quote carry a political association, but the requirement is now that, you know, if they're a Middle Eastern brand or a Middle Eastern company or have Middle Eastern connections, given the ownership of the PIF. This is vetting. I mean, if you and I own the team, my friend, they wouldn't be vetting. You know, they'd be like, hey, there's Rob and Ahmad. Those are great owners. They're just like Rob and Ryan over there in Wrexham. They're good blokes, and they're just putting deals together. Yeah. You know. Again, it's TikTok would probably require a little bit more vetting these days than it did a couple years ago, but it's still okay. It's still on there. But you know, I think in this case it'll be interesting. One, I think the price jump is, I know that Newcastle has become three times or almost four times as valuable, you know, as a front of shirt brand. Okay.
For sure.
So, you know, they didn't all of a sudden just align themselves with, you know, what, you know, Man United and Liverpool and Chelsea, you know, are getting, you know, for the front of kit. They don't have that kind of global following. But you know, they, you know, from a performance standpoint, strike while the iron's hot, hey, get a $12 million deal, double your money, you know, great. Have at it. Deserve that, you know, and obviously more money allows for more resources, you know, and the goal is you want to stay in the top five. This came up when we were talking about the Commanders a couple of weeks back. One of the bids, that last bid that came in, they couldn't verify where the funds were coming from. And the assumption was some of the funds were coming from the Middle East, and you know, NFL, you know, has, you know, prohibits sovereign wealth funds from owning any franchise, any part of a franchise. So, and, you know, again, you know, it's this starts with who owns it. Then there's a pattern of the types of deals that they're doing, and you know, they've got to prove that this partner is kind of free and clear. And this was an open market deal, and you know, maybe there was a sucker that wanted to pay £25 million for the front of Newcastle. And if I'm Everton, or if I'm you know, and I've got to get steak off the front of my shirt, then I'm loving this, because you know, the value of our shirt space just went up because the comps just went up, you know, down the street. So you know, there's, you know, at the same time, while they're checking numbers, you know, there are those that are sitting in commercial director chairs and other clubs hoping this goes through, and all of a sudden there's a nice little uptick on their the resale of their front shirt. So
yeah, wow.
It'll be interesting, my friend. It'll be interesting. I know for a fact there are a few brands that you know, Saudi Aramco owns that could be could find their, you know, Aramco could not be on there for the obvious association, right?
Yeah, correct.
But they own brands that you and I walking down the street wouldn't blink an eye to see see them on the side of an F1 car, seeing them on the front of a jersey kit, and not think twice about, oh yeah, our media association isn't like, hey, the Saudis own them.
Yeah.
Same thing goes with, you know, we know TikTok has, you know, are owned by the Chinese, you know, but you know, if you just looked at it as, oh, TikTok, it's a multimedia platform, it's not a big deal. You know, some people think it's a big deal, you know?
Wow.
So again, I like you, as someone who operates in that space and is representing a couple of those EPL teams with betting partners, I'm quite curious to see who the new money in town is that's spending like a drunk sailor on Newcastle's shirt.
Wow.
So
interesting. Very, very interesting. It's definitely going to set a few trends.
Absolutely.
Let's stay in the world of football. Actually, we can even say Premier League, because JJ Watt has purchased a minority stake in Burnley FC. Burnley have been promoted to the Premier League. Vincent Kompany's done an amazing job with them. They finished top of the table. They're getting promoted. So happy, happy days. Let's talk about JJ Watt here a bit. He made a video yesterday which went viral everywhere. It was him and his wife who's a former a NWSL star, that they're buying a minority stake in Burnley FC, and it's picked up a bit of traction. It's definitely made the rounds. He called it a small minority investment, but a huge emotional investment. So let's see how Burnley does. Let's see. I can see here this sort of. So again, I like to relate things to other examples. You know, where Wrexham, they brought in the superstars from Hollywood. Rob's popular, but he's not like Ryan Reynolds. JJ Watt's a huge brand in the States. Huge brand. Has a huge following. Obviously, play NFL. His wife the same. So now that this is going to open up a huge audience for Burnley in the States, which is probably the growth market for football moving forward. I'm sure you also be able to give us some more in-depth information about the club and, you know, what you see with this investment and getting him involved.
Well, you know, one, it's, you know, let's realize that JJ is not taking the same financial risk that Rob and Ryan took with Wrexham.
Exactly.
He is not on the hook for a team that's valued now at about $300 million now that they're going up. I think I'll say that he's a one percenter. Is probably the range that he's in. So it's a he is not making a dent, but he is a tremendously valuable name and face for that brand. Because, you know, Burnley is, you know, I know Burnley because a lot of my son's coaches here in youth soccer were all Burnley fans. So I knew about Burnley a long time ago. And we actually had, you know, several of their youth teams would come over here and play in our tournaments. And, you know, so you get to meet these kids, you know, when they're, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old coming over, you know, great trip for them to get out of, you know, England and come over here and play in Southern, you know, play in Arizona on nice grass pitches and gorgeous weather in the winter. You know, so it was always a nice trip for them. But, you know, what I will say is that, you know, look, it's a trend, smart move. We're seeing lots of, athletes investing in other sports. We've obviously seen, you know, Giannis, you know, take a piece of Nashville SC. We've seen, you know, Kevin Durant has invested in, you know, in other franchises, you know, kind of athletes supporting athletes in other sports, you know, and by, you know, taking ownership stakes and things like that, because, you know, obviously they're limited to be able to doing that. You know, Magic Johnson obviously has, you know, been involved in the Lakers, the Dodgers, and now he's involved in the Commanders. You know, if this once Josh Harris's deal goes through, you know, at some level, you know, athletes are, you know, they're done playing, but they're not being done being, you know, fans or close to the game. And so this is a natural deal for a guy like JJ. And look, you know, it's an exciting boost for a team that's, you know, going up the premiership. You know, we actually work with Sheffield United, who's, you know, right there in number two. They should clinch their promotion here very shortly. You know, we have an opportunity to, you know, hey, if you want to be the next JJ Watt, give me a call. Happy to, you know, we have an opportunity for you. To your point, this is a growing trend. We're seeing this happen. Look, it's a way for, you know, athletes that retire are still very competitive. They want to be involved. They want to have some purpose. They want to root for somebody that, you know, JJ played for the Cardinals and the Texans. He probably will root for them, but he will never own an NFL franchise because they won't let him in. They don't, you know, they're not giving him a stake of that. And, you know, he's, you know, all of us have watched what happened with Wrexham. It's kind of romantic in a way. And he's married to his wife's, a soccer player. So, hey, let's call it what it is sometimes. Hey, he was retired and sitting around the house and got tired of doing chores. He probably said, hey, if I buy into a soccer club, will you let me go play golf? I don't have to take the trash out anymore, honey. you know, if I just, you know, support your sport in retirement, will you leave me alone? No, I'm, you know, but at the same time, you know, there you have it. You know, I think that there's, you know, they're clearly a team, and it will be a fun ride. May not be fun if they get relegated down next year. But to your point, I think Vincent Kompany has proven it, you know, has proven himself a very capable gaffer. And he is, and he obviously was a very capable player as well. And look, I think that they, with the support of, you know, its fan base and new ownership, I think they're, you know, they will stay up, and curious to see if, you know, some of these other teams that have, you know, fallen short, you know, the yo-yo clubs, the ups and downs. I think that they've got a very good chance to stay up, and see what happens for next year. But you know, again, I think it'll be a fun one to follow. It's, you know, it kind of on the heels of this Wrexham story. I think it's one of those things that you know, a little, I don't want to say it's not necessarily copycat, but you know, in this case, you know,
similar path.
Similar path, but I think it, like I said, gives a retired athlete, two retired athletes in this case, starting their young family, still something to kind of root for, you know. So, you know, and I think that, you know, they're selling a 99 J.J. Watt Burnley kit now, which J.J. thought was pretty funny. He was in New York yesterday, and, you know, a Burnley fan took a selfie with him and sent it out viral. You know, I mean, you know, JJ's like, holy, crap. You know, I've owned the, I announced this, you know, a day ago, and now I'm running into fans all over the place. You know what I mean? And again, to your point, it shows the reach of EPL, you know, and of soccer, and again, a great deal for Burnley to all of a sudden have this, kind of high profile owner. We'll use that in quotes. Sure. Yeah, I'll put that in quotes.
For sure.
He owns a piece of something he has no influence over whatsoever, other than, I own 1% of the team. And so I can say that. I can say that I'm an owner. You know, I own Amazon stock. Does that mean I'm an owner of Amazon? I don't own as much as Jeff Bezos, but I guess I can say I'm a shareholder. I don't know if I'm an owner, but, you know, look, it's a cool story. You know, we can't seem to get out of Arizona on some of our topics today, but you know, there's a lot going on down there right now. It's a good story, fun story, and at the end of the day, JJ Watt is an extremely likable person. He's done. He's not one of those guys. One of those good guys. You know, we've seen him step up. You know, in Houston during crisis, we've seen him. You know, be a leader, be a good, just a good guy, another one of those, hard to find a bad word said about him kind of person. And, I think this will be a fun journey for him. Let's see where it goes.
Absolutely. And speaking of Wrexham, they've finally been promoted 15 years.
Yeah.
They're out of the National League. Now they're into the English Football League, which is the EFL. I think they'll be in Division 4, though, down the bottom. But, you know, at least the path to the Premier League is on. I mean, and I can promise you that Ryan Reynolds is going to milk it. I mean, this is going to be series after series after series, and we're going to be entertained, and we're going to know all about it for many years to come. I mean, these guys are that invested that they skipped the Met Gala to go to the open bus celebration in Wrexham. So it's ridiculous. It's what a story. It's just going to really, really like change the way football is. And I heard that Ryan Reynolds has bought a house in Wales.
Yep. He did.
Wow.
He's like, you know, I guess those hotel bills were getting racked up, and he might as well, might as well become, plant some roots there, because he looks like he's going to be spending a lot more time there now that they're promoted up. I mean,
he wants to get a lot more involved, apparently.
Well, you know, as we've talked about, it is, you know, and he talks about it in his, you know, in those interviews. And if you watch, you know, post game interviews, but if you've watched, you know, Welcome to Wrexham, you know, he said this is addicting. This is addicting. And I don't know why it's so addicting, but it is. And now he's got the, I mean, the ultimate addiction is we're promoted. I mean, he saw firsthand, you know, what this meant to a community, a nation. I mean, what, they're now trying to, you know, get Gareth Bale out of retirement to come play, for crying out loud. I mean, yeah, they will stop at nothing, shamelessly nothing, to outfit this club to go up to the next level. Because, you know, as you know, they can promote up three more times before they get to the Premier League. And, you know, it doesn't get any easier, you know. And damn if they're going to go back down. There will be no price. I mean, I remember the first, you know, season of the Welcome to Wrexham. He talked about how much money they spent on, you know, they redid the pitch, and then the pitch was bad, and they had to redo it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of got the bill for, you know, how much money did you waste on grass? Right, right. And he's like, you know, it's like $300,000 a pop. He's like, I just spent $1 million on grass, and he goes, and I didn't, you know, and I don't really feel good about that, but you know. Here he is, you know, obviously spending on players and talent, and to compete against, like it was at some point it was an unfair fight, given the financial resources they had. But you know, they're up. You know, hopefully Notts County goes up with them, because they're probably the true National League type of champion that, you know, in any other year, 15 years, they're 106 points. Because Wrexham was, you know, 113 or whatever they were.
Wow.
You know, yeah. So now they got to do the play-in. Obviously, you know, an exciting time to watch, you know, Ryan and Rob, you know, on this journey. You know, you and I as consumers and certainly people in the business love seeing, you know, good, healthy, wholesome stories like this happen, because I think they genuinely, there's no agenda other than they want to see this keep going. This story just keeps getting better. I mean, you know, as actors in Hollywood, you write scripts and sequels. Like, this is, they're writing it, you know, right now. Keep going, because people are going to follow Wrexham as they go up again, and they go up again, and Lord knows. You know, I mean, mark my words. We saw how big of a celebration it was when they promoted out of the National League after 15 years into the English Football League.
I think they said one in three people or one in four people were at that parade.
If you were a burglar, yesterday was the day to get yours at Wrexham, because there wasn't nobody home.
Yeah, no one. Literally, yeah.
No one. Uh-uh. And they didn't. And if they would have come home and their house would have been ransacked, they would have said, "I don't care. We got promoted. Doesn't matter. Yeah, whatever."
It's amazing.
The celebration, if that team goes to the Premier League, will absolutely be it'll be the Met Ball. It'll be the Oscars. It'll be the Grammys. It'll be every great it'll be an NBA final parade. Of a Super Bowl parade, on top of a Copa del Rey, you know, Champions League parade. Oh, you take every parade you can think of, you and I can think of, it will be all rolled into one if that club, if the Dragon, the Red Dragons from Wrexham, go from National League to Premier League in, what, 5 years' time? I mean...
Wow, imagine that.
Dude, I mean, it will absolutely be... I mean, the Wales may break off, you know, UK. It may be that big of a damn party that the damn island breaks in half. It's going to be a new boat. Going to have to build a bridge to keep them connected. So
it's really crazy, because there's so much potential there, and there's so much monetary gain that could be that could happen just from a team that literally has been ignored for the last 15 years.
Dude, what were the like the merchandising numbers went up 4,000%, you know?
Yeah.
And again, a lot of it was, you know, a lot of this, you know, is, you know, credit to Ryan and Rob just from their followings. I mean, you know, they came in, they got involved, they, you know, put, you know, created this TV show. They were making $400,000 an episode. They're selling merchandise. All of a sudden, you know, the Wrexham jersey was cool. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like the Ted Lasso.
Absolutely.
You know, all of a sudden you got a bunch of Richmond AFC Nike jerseys out there with banter on it. And everybody's like, what the, who are they?
Wow.
You know, right up there with, you know, you're getting your Bobby Boucher, you know, Mississippi Mudbugs, you know, jersey. I mean, all, you know, so it kind of went from obscurity to the number one selling, you know, soccer jersey in the world, you know, for, I mean, just on the back of it's the team that Deadpool owns, or, you know, I'm a Ryan Reynolds fan, you know, and you get TikTok and you get Aviator Gin and you get Expedia, you get brands. Now, again, you know, these are global brands that decided to go in the front of a kid of a National League team in Wales.
Wow.
I've got opportunities with teams in London, you know, in Berlin, in Sevilla, Spain, you know, that are much more prominent than this. And they went with Wrexham. Why? You know,
stop
that, man. Guy over there has got that guy over there has got 3 million people that follow him, and he built a gin company, and he built a
mobile company.
Yeah, you know, and which he just sold, by the way, and now he's in the middle, you know, and he's not done yet. I mean, he's in the middle of the Senators deal. You know, he's got the Ottawa Senators, you know, $1 billion deal for an NHL franchise. He's not done. He's a Canadian. Got to have hockey. You can't go, you know, do that, you know, in Wales with a soccer club and not come home and fix your NHL franchise. So, you know, he's got some national duties that he needs to perform. So,
wow. So as of January 27th, they had sold 24,000 shirts. The Wrexham strategic advisor said, "At first, I thought we'd ordered too many."
I'm sure they ran out.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure they ran out.
It's ridiculous. But anyway, it's a great story.
Yeah.
Great way to finish off. And pretty much hand it over to you for some parting words.
Well, you know, parting words are, you know, as we share every week, the world of sport will continue to give us interesting, dynamic topics to discuss. You know, we're in the middle of our playoff season over here in the NBA and NHL. Major League Baseball just starting to crank up. We've just completed the NFL draft. You know, so we're kind of at a stage now where we're really focusing in on NHL having their best viewership in the first round, but they've lost their top six media markets in the process with those teams losing.
Wow.
We've got some very intriguing star aligned NBA series going on, you know, that are kicking, you know, that are, you know, two games in, that will continue to be exciting. We've got star power with LeBron and Steph playing against each other. We've got Jason Tatum and the newly crowned MVP Joel Embiid playing against each other. We've got you know, Kevin Durant going against the two-time defending MVP Jokic in a series. We've got fantastic, you know, series. I mean, so you know, I expect you know, as we follow some viewership on that, to be great. But you know, hey, we're seeing the wind down of the EPL season, Champions League, being decided. We're seeing the league champions starting to be decided, and with one last thing, our friend Lionel Messi will be making news.
Wow. You
know, not just because he was in Saudi Arabia. I know we touched a little bit about this when we were talking about Ronaldo, But if Lionel Messi is being offered what we are hearing he's being offered, I'm pretty sure that PSG's 2-week suspension without pay will he won't miss that. But I think that probably gives him the signal that he needs to say that I can provide my family with generational wealth for years to come by taking an opportunity there before I come over to the U.S. and play MLS.
Unbelievable.
We shall see, but lots of things ahead of us, my friend. And I look forward to next week. I know next week we're going to maybe zero in, you know, here in the next week or so, going to zero in on some, very interesting topic about what's happening in Sin City and whether it can sustain its franchise acquisition mode that it's currently in.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. It's going to be a very interesting segment. Lots happening in Sin City. And for our segment today, we have pretty much come to an end. Thank you, everyone who tunes in. Thank you, everyone who listens on our podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Finder podcast. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at sportsfinder.com.